Blog Talk Radio.
When I was coming up in OG, used to tell me, I just stand in the cab, get that paper, homie. Stay on track, stack your ass, keep that money growing. Find your path through the math and keep your money flowing. When I was coming up in OG, used to tell me, I just stand in the cab, get that paper, homie. Stay on track, stack your ass, keep that money growing. Find your path through the math and keep your money flowing.
I learned it from the OG, the one that came before me. I stay up on the grind. Day I kill the old me. Don't let the baby face fool you. The streets is what has grown me. All you fucking haters tryna blow like y'all some goalies. Ronaldo on the pitch, can't no motherfucker hold me. We some Godzillas getting bigger by the moment. Bought the copper villa off the island for the throne beat. I'm a big E, cause I'm a microphone beat. Something like my daddy, I get it from my OG. Do some things and play the game. Put the paper in the back. And Brinks truck, start a brand new kingdom. Forever now the king is home. OG from the Santa song.
When I was coming up in OG, used to tell me, I just stand, had the cash, get that paper, homie. Stay on track, take your ass, keep that money growing. Find your path, do the math, and keep your money flowing. When I was coming up in OG, used to tell me, I just stand, had the cash, get that paper, homie. Stay on track, take your ass, keep that money growing. Find your path, do the math.
Was coming up, them OGs tried to show me how to slang that weed and make money. That's the old me. I still get that green on different me, but I'm my own me. I still got them OGs on my team, ain't never lonely. OGs know me, living life on what they told me. Find your path to your map. All that sell, keep money growing, stay on track. Go some rap, smoke some weed, keep money flowing. Yes, indeed, I'm real OG. Never soft like Pillow B. Die hard fan like Ginobili and 210, we real OGs. Some OGs be double, some OGs be triple, some OGs. He's that bitter, but real OG's original. Real OG's original. Real OG's original.
When I was coming up in OG, he used to tell me, I just stand, had the cash, get that paper, homie. Stay on track, stack your ass, keep that money growing. Find your path through the math and keep your money flowing. When I was coming up in OG, he used to tell me, I just stand, had the cash, get that paper, homie. Stay on track, stack your ass, keep that money growing. Find your path through the math and keep your money flowing.
All right, all right, all right, all right. What's going on, everybody? Sorry for the late start. Got a little problem logging in, but I think I'm ready to rock and roll now. If you guys can hear me okay, if somebody could kind of text me and let me know. Let me know that the sound is coming through okay. Welcome, everybody. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. I want to welcome everybody to today's show. Today is Saturn's Day, Saturday, June the 29th, Saturday, June the 29th of 2019 at the time. The time is a little after 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time as you've been explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. Today, my brothers, today, my sister, got a powerful show scheduled for you today. We want to do, I'm driving. So again, if the call drops, you guys just hang tight. And I will call right back in. Today, my brothers, we want to talk about the esoteric mind. What we really want to delve into is your individual design. The individual design of everybody's mind. Had a great meeting last night with Dr. Span and her husband, Dr. Jerome Span. And we was going to have them on the show. But decided to, we're going to probably pigeonhole that and have them on the show probably Monday or Tuesday once they get back home. We could have squeezed it in today, but we will have them on the show and have them kind of break down where God is taking them and how the program has assisted them with developing this, you know, this creative connectivity, the creative. Yeah, I think it was called creative connectivity. We were talking about last night. I think it was called creative connectivity. But anyway, we'll have Dr. Span and her husband on later on tonight. We'll be having a conversation with one of my other clients, Brother Andreas, and he's going to be talking about the word courage, which is the ability to cure the internal rage. The word courage, you see the word cure and the word rage inside of the word courage. He's going to be breaking that down later on tonight. Today we want to talk about how Dr. Span, you know, Jerome, my husband, our brother Andreas, and everybody else that's part of the life management system, part of the product development. And if you're not a part of the product development, that part of the program is only $250. You can still join. Just simply email me at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. Email address again is masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. And let me know you want to be a part of the product development where we are developing your name, your narrative, and your niche. And if you would like me to do that for you, there are some people, instead of them doing it themselves, they need further assistance. Now, that part of the program is $1,000. So I can assist you in your name, your narrative, and your niche for three payments of $333. So three monthly payments of three. So three at 333, and you can be a part of what I will actually give you your book, design your seven modules for your program or three modules or whatever we decide. And how are we able to do that? Is what we're talking about today. So today we're talking about the hive mind versus the individual mind. So the hive mind versus the individual mind. So we have the hive mind versus the individual mind. And it allows you to understand the difference between the hive mind and the individual mind. And once you know the difference between the hive mind and the individual mind, then you can understand how to shine. So everybody on this call, you have one of those two. You're either part of the collective consciousness or you're using your individual consciousness. Your job is to understand what they are and the difference between the hive mind and the individual consciousness. So the hive mind is this collaboration, if you will, of all minds together. And once you connect, you put all minds together, then if everybody's mind operates as a whole, it doesn't operate as an individual. Now, there are pluses and minuses, if you will, to the hive mind and the collective consciousness of the individual mind. So when we talk about the hive mind, that simply means that one person thinks for the group. And everybody else is kind of, I'm going to use the word clones, or everybody else gets direction. Now, that's like in most churches, most major companies, most organizations, all sports teams. The universe, the world, pretty much operates on the hive mind mentality. That just simply means that was this movie that I saw that was called Mind Gamers. And in that movie, The Mind Game or Mind Gamers, that's what they were talking about. They were talking about the hive mind. They was talking about how everybody's mind is controlled by one individual in the group. Now, for most people, that construct is extremely difficult to understand. But you can tell by the behavior. For example, now, since my boy, I don't know if he started it. I don't know if it was LeBron James or Harden, that's for the Houston Rockets. So now a lot of black men are wearing beards. If you notice, in the African-American culture, a lot of black men are wearing beards. Another thing that if you look in the African-American culture, slides. You see a lot of, was in a hotel room, and I saw a lot of young guys, they had, you know, they had slides on, like the slides that you wear when you're at home. And, you know, we already know about the baggy pants. We know about the skinny jeans. So why does that happen? How does that happen? How are trends are established? How is it that Britney Spears or, you know, some celebrity could come out with a certain look and then everybody and their grandmother has that same look, that same hairstyle, the same beard, the same skinny jeans? We got there's fat guys wearing skinny jeans. It looks crazy. It's like, man, I can't even put my package in those skinny jeans. And it's not, I couldn't wear skinny jeans if I want to. It hurts. I don't know how guys do that. But again, the deeper question is, how are we so easily influenced by advertising and by the hive mind mentality of the universe? So the universe operates on the hive mind of the cosmogrator. So you don't really know that your thoughts don't come from you. And so talking to, you know, Dr. Span and talking to her husband, Jerome, last night, I noticed that they're not a part of the hive mind. So Brother Jerome was explaining to me how his brain works and how their marriage works and how, you know, he works. And it was really interesting that the brain, the way that he thinks, is not quote unquote traditional. It's not part of this hive mind or this collective consciousness. So there is a war going on between the design of your mind. See, you have a brilliant mind, but you do not have, most of us, we don't know how to access our mind. We do not know how to call and to question the nature of the reality that we live in. We just accept whatever is being promoted by this the dominant culture or this harmonious arrangement. So we live in a virtual world, and this virtual world or this virtual reality, you know, it's interesting because it provides just enough distractions to keep us from connecting with our true individual mind. So there are people who are gifted, and those are the people that are usually have the life path number 7, because their brains work in a different way than most people's brains. And if you have the life path number 1, your brain works individually. It doesn't work collectively. So Brother Jerome is a 1. And when I was talking to him last night, I noticed that there is a internal rebel, if you will, inside the way Brother Jerome's brain operates. I know there is a healthy disdain by the way Brother Jerome carries himself, one of the things he said that he focuses on was, or not even focus on, but has a natural expression when it comes to, you know, like him and his wife, they would go to the beach or they would go, you know, on vacation during the weekdays, not on the weekends. Now, I've never given that a thought.
No.
I go on vacation just like whenever I want to go on it, but I've never made a conscious decision. I've never actually broke down and made a effort to actually think in a way or make a decision to actually go on vacation in the middle of the week. And then when Brother Jerome explained to me why going to the beach in the middle of the day on a Wednesday, on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, because everybody else is at work. Most of the hired help are at work. Most of the melanated people are at work. Now, again, we're talking about the difference between a hive mind, which is you go on vacation on the weekend. You do things differently from everybody else. Now, the hive mind does that. Now, your job is to go and understand. Can you pull it up on your phone? And so the job is to doesn't want you to shine. The hive mind already have a system set up in place that it wants you to operate according to. So your job is to do what Brother Jerome does. Question the nature of your reality. Now, this is just a simple example, but it's a good example. Because what we're talking about is the fact that everybody's brain works individually. You're not designed to be a part of this hive mind system. Now, you can, but at the end of the day, what happens is your inability to open and understand how your brain works is extremely important, because everybody's brain is designed by source to actually operate in a manner that takes you to your choice, your God-given choice. So if you don't do that, the hive mind, the collective mind, is designed to get you off of your individual course and get you onto the cosmogrator's course. So the enemy wants to siphon your energy. He doesn't want you to have sex. The whole system is to prevent you from having sex. Now, again, sex is sacred. It's not sensual. Sex is a sacred energy. Energy, entity, exchange. So your job is to over and understand that in order for you to engage in the type of sex, this sacred energy exchange, or this sacred energy xenogenesis, or genogenesis, is spelled again, X-E-N-O-G-E. N-E-S-I-S, Genesis. So it is this xenogenesis. That is the ability to exchange the thought that is sent to the brain for a thought that's designed for the brain. Let me say it again. Your job is xenogenesis, and I'll be breaking this down in our private lessons for all of the members to understand xenogenesis. So xenogenesis is the ability to take a thought pattern that is designed to align you with the devil's mind and exchange that thought pattern. Because what is a thought? A thought is energy. So you're taking the energy from the cosmogrator, and you're going to transmute that energy that the cosmogrator has for you, and you're going to transmute that energy into something that benefits you. So the enemy got a plan for you. His plan is to destroy you. Your plan is to employ you or to deploy you. So you want to take what the enemy meant for evil and you want to transmute it into something that is good. And your ability to do that changes the entire globe, changes the entire narrative. Now, remember, it's extremely important, brothers and sisters, because as we're talking today, your brain is going to reject your individuality, meaning that your reticular activating system has been designed by a reptilian. That's why it's called a reticular, for, again, repetition. It works off of repetition. Repetition makes you good reptilian. So your job is to understand that the enemy wants you to repeat a particular thought pattern over and over and over again until that thought pattern gives birth to an entity, which is an energy, which is an emotion. That emotion is designed to replace your inner God. So the entity wants to replace your energy, your I-N-N-E-R-G, and that's the hive mind. So the individual mind is how each and every one of us shines. The ability to you for you to think for yourself. Now, when you think for yourself, there's a lot of other people who are thinking for themselves too. And you're going to develop what is called mutual agreement to allow each individual to grow in their own space and in their own lane. And y'all can grow up together side by side because you're both going in the same direction. You both have the same desire. What's that desire? Wealth, health, wisdom, and Tokyo relationship. So you have the same desire that I have, and that is to be wealthy, to be healthy, to be wise, and to be in great relationships. So since we both have that same desire, all we're going to do is we're going to both go in a direction. We're going to grow together, even though we're growing individually. It's like if you see the forest, there's a whole bunch of trees. But when you look at the forest from up top, it looks like there's a just one mass group of trees. But in actuality, there's a whole group of trees, and they all are growing together. And this forest is actually growing up together. And so your job is to over and understand that each and every one of us has this ability to grow together. And without you understanding that, something happens. And what happens is each and every one of us loses our ability to think for ourselves. Now, this is extremely, extremely important. Your inability to think for yourself is what's causing a lot of your, I'm going to use the word, disdain. And that is because we are being controlled with a specific hive mind or hive mind mentality. And so each one of us has this ability to think for ourselves. So how do we do that? How do we get out of the hive mind and get back into our individual mind? So that way we are able to function, we're able to operate, we are able to grow, we are able to glow. We are able to be who Source Code has designed and gifted us to do. Well, the first thing that we're going to do is what I do every day and what you should do every day and what I was talking with Brother Jerome about and, you know, a lot of other members in this group. The way that we connected, the way that you are a part of the life management system is the fact that you went against the grind. So now remember, you're not going against the grind just to be going against the grind. You're going against the grind so that way you can shine. Now, going against the grind is very, very important. But going against the grind is how you shine. So how do you go against the grind? Number one, you question the nature of your reality. Now, you guys know I've been saying that for years. That just simply means analyze the self. Now, there are seven keys, and I'll be, you know, in a private group, we'll go through all seven, and we'll break it down even further. But for the sake of this public broadcast today and you know, your ability to get into what I'm saying, Everybody on this call have one mission in life. You have one goal. That's it. Your job every morning you wake up is to ask why, not what. That's your only job. Let me say that again, and let me break it down and let me explain it to you. Because what right now are happening to you, and you are responding. Somebody says, cut you off in traffic, and you respond in anger, or you respond to whatever events, but you're not asking the question why. Because you're not questioning the nature of your reality, that's what is destroying your God-given mentality. Each and every one of us, we have to start questioning the nature of our reality. Now, what does that mean in English? Does that mean that you're a rebel? That means that you start thinking like the example that I was telling you. On vacation in the middle of the week on purpose, because he knows, number one, there's less people. Number two, a lot of my minorities, only people with money can go on vacation in the middle of the week. People that ain't got no money, they ain't going on vacation in the middle of the week. They got to take, because all of the specials are on the weekend instead of the other. So what's the point? The point is, when you walk on the beach on a Wednesday afternoon, there's less people than when you walk on the beach on a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday. So your job is to just understand why certain things exist. If there's a speed limit, there's a reason why the speed is set at that limit. And so there's safety reasons, that could be construction, that could be a lot of different reasons why. Against the system. So you are for the promotion and the development of your product, your service, and your information. That's what you are for. Everybody on this call, you are for you. That doesn't mean that you're against anybody else. See, being black, I am for blacks. But that doesn't mean I'm against white. Just because I'm for black, that doesn't mean that I'm against white. And see, we got to get out of this ideal that just because you are for something, that doesn't mean that you are against something else. And that the hive mind makes you feel bad for being you. Do you know how it's really interesting that if you are really pro-black, you are demonized because you are considered a rebel. You're considered, and now you can be pro anything else, and this is not about race, but it's about how we are programmed to think. We're not designed to think that way. We're programmed to think that way. So your job is to step outside of the program and decide that, you know what, I am not going to be programmed. I'm not going to follow. I'm not going to allow myself to operate according to this program because I have a brain and it works. And it's the ability to think individually. So you are able to form partnerships with people who think like you. Now, what about the people who don't think like you? Okay, you're not the vibrational equivalent. You don't have to change them. You don't have to ignore them. You don't have to demonize them. You don't have to fight them. You ain't got to hate them. You ain't got to disrespect them. You ain't got to do none of that stuff. See, we put too much energy into things that we are against. Don't tell me what you are against. Tell me what you're for. I talk to people all the time, and they are against this. They are against that. And they tell me that, oh, man, you know, I'm against abortion. Or, you know what, I'm against interracial marriages. Or, you know what, I'm against, you know, Islam. I'm against. Okay, but what are you for? What are you willing to live for? Everybody can tell me what they're willing to die for. Oh, man, I'd die for that. Okay, what are you willing to live for? What are you willing to get up early and stay up late. Can everybody on this call tell me right now one thing that you're willing to live, not die? We'll throw ourselves under the bus quick. Oh, yeah, brother, I'm willing to die for what I believe in, not me. I'm willing to live for what I believe in. So I got a question for you today, because your ability to think for yourself draws people into your life that's like the self. So true partnerships are not about sacrificing or giving up your individuality for the sake of this holistic mentality. That's the current model. That's the dominant culture, because then that's how you create a good cult. That's how you create a good, how can I put this delicately? That's how you are creating an organization of yes men and yes women. Most people, most organizations, very few leaders will actually hire people that think different than them. I was there talking with Brother Jerome and Dr. Span last night, and they were shocked because it was like, man, well, I didn't think I was going to be able to get a word in, because you can talk. You like to talk. I'm like, yep, I didn't come to talk. I came to listen. I came to learn. And so the one-on-one, if you want to use that, the in-person, the personal one-on-one, I told you guys I'm going to start, you know, going to see you, or you coming to see me. And I want to do this more because, again, the energy that was exchanged last night, that could not be done over video. It was kind of like when I told you guys I went to California. So the energy, the reason I went to California, what was the benefits to going to California was to be in the presence of greatness. Now, I'm great, but I want to be – now, remember, when I was exposed to the dominant culture, they – taught me social codes and hidden norms. Now, this was taught to me by a FBI instructor. And what was taught was how social codes are established, and how hidden norms, if you want to use that term, that is what is called sociology. That is the social construct of a particular culture that is just assimilated. When you're in the culture, it's not taught to people outside the culture. So the only way for you to get that piece of information is if you are a part of that culture. You cannot get that information from a book. That's what I keep trying to express to everybody, man, is that there's a lot of stuff that I talk about and that I do that you cannot get that from a book. I cannot talk to you and tell you the benefits of why you should think for yourself. I have to come, sit down, look you in the eyeball, and let you feel the energy of somebody who thinks for themselves. And you will feel, and you will see the difference between the hive mind, the collective mind, and the individual mind. And you will see how we have to change the paradigm of just going along to get along. You should not dumb yourself down to be a part of any organization. That organization should elevate themselves. Now, you don't go into an organization and try to change the organization by making rules and regulations. You go into an organization and your energy affects, it's contagious. When people around me, they sense my energy. When I was sitting there talking to Dr. Span and her husband, Jerome, I could see that their energy was infectious. The way that they looked at each other, they laughing and joking, that they were authentic. They were transparent. They were two people that really honestly love each other. They see worth and value in each other. There were two people that was finishing each other's sentences. What Brother Jerome, and Brother Jerome is a one. He's an individual. So he's designed by God to think for himself. And so if you were to try to force him to think according to your system, which is what the hive mind does, he would resist that vehemently. as we were laughing and joking last night. And it was fun to talk about, but it was refreshing to see how everybody has the potential to actually be themselves. But we were told and we were taught that we are supposed to have a shared intelligence. We're supposed to have a collective consciousness or a universal mind. We're supposed to deny ourself, pick up our cross, and follow him. Now, that is a part of what we're supposed to do. But the self that we're supposed to deny is the ego self. It is not the spiritual self. So what I'm talking about today is I'm not talking about your spiritual self. I'm talking about your ego. The ego is the false you. The ego is everything that you learned from the reverend, the doctor, the bishop, from your environment, from your mothers and from your fathers that doesn't align with your God-given design. So I was taught to be seen and not heard. Now, I am an informed communicator. I like to talk, but I was trained and raised in an environment growing up as a kid not to talk, to basically dumb myself down and to not – you guys going to hear a little background noise here. I'm flying down the highway with no gas in my tank. And I'm like, hey, where my gas light come on? And so I was trained to basically not talk. And so I grew up not showing emotion. I grew up not talking. I grew up not sharing my individuality. I grew up thinking that I had no worth and no value. I actually grew up believing and thinking that my older brother was smarter than me because he could memorize stuff better than me. Because if you got, I mean, maybe you, hopefully you know, but if you don't know, that most universities, it's just based upon the ability to regurgitate facts. You don't really learn nothing. You just learn how to repeat. You become a good repeater or a good reporter. And each and every one of us, again, have to understand that there's nothing wrong with that. It is great to be able to repeat facts and regurgitate information. I am not against, as I said before, this is very important. This is very, very important. I am not against. Sometimes I talk so heavily about certain things that people get the impression that I am against the church, or I'm against religion, or I'm against, let's say nothing I think about. When I talk about, multi-level marketing, I get that a lot. People think I'm against multi-level marketing, or I'm against, Bitcoin. I am not against anything, but I am for a lot of things. So the collective hive mentality basically shuns, or it is not, I'm going to use the word, the collective hive mind doesn't, allow you to shine. We'll put it that way. And so your job is to shine. So again, how do we do that? How do you actually fall in love with yourself? How do you make it okay for you to be you? How do you actually vibrate in a frequency or wave of vibration that allows you to actually be who God has designed and gifted you to be? How do you really honestly be you? How do you honestly be who Source Code has designed and gifted you to be? Because each and every one of us has a potential to be and actually do that. But what is stopping us? What is stopping you? Let me ask you a question. What is it that, or who is it that you are not being? What is it that you are not doing because of fear of what somebody else would think, or fear about what somebody else would say? What is it that you are not allowing yourself to engage in because it goes against the dominant culture? It goes against what you've been taught. Each and every one of us, and again, I do apologize for the background or noise, you guys, I'm driving and all that good stuff. But what is it that you're not being? What is it that you're not doing? Simply because now you know deep down in your heart that you should be or do A, B, C, or D, but you're not. You know deep down in your heart that there is something that you should be, you know, vibrating as, but you're not. Now, let me give you an example. So I was sitting there, you know, we were talking to Brother Jerome, Dr. Jerome, and Dr. Span last night, and, you know, we're just talking about, you know, little stuff. You know, so when we're talking about these little details that allows people to function according to their God-given giftedness. So I spent, you know, in licensed, ordained, organized religion, you know, about 15 years, 10 years in leadership at the top levels, starting the living room floor to a $20 million building, bringing in close to $1 million a month through the school's child care, daycare, and all that stuff. Drama. I mean, the whole it was a big, huge organization. They still there, still functioning. If I said the name of the church right now, you would know it, or you could Google it and look it up and be like, whoa, wow, that is a major operation. So when it was time to leave that operation, I couldn't leave. Even though I knew I was supposed to leave, I couldn't, because I had a position, because I had a title, that I had certain things that I had to live up to, even though I knew that this wasn't a good fit for me individually. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with the organization. There's nothing wrong with the church. For me personally, based upon my numbers are 6339. My numbers did not fit in that design, because everything was great until I started thinking for myself. And the moment that I started to think for myself, now remember, partnerships, organizations work when a bunch of individuals who are single, standing, counting the waveform energies work together. Now, as I was talking with, doing a one-on-one with Sister Candace, this is really her show. So when I interview her, she can break this down for you. Just like when I interview Brother Andreas, he can break down courage for you. Now, I told him during our one-on-one, and he said that word, when I was talking to him, just like when I shared with Sister Candace, just like when I shared last night with Sister Arlene, Dr. Arlene's fam, and they was like, Doc, we doing this, but we can't see like what you see. And they asked me, like, what is our product? What is our service? What is our information? What is our name? What is our niche? And what is our narrative? And I remember talking with Sister Candace, and she was telling me the same thing. And we looked up her house based upon her constellation. And last night I was talking to, and I do this every day, and I've been doing this for the last 20 years because I'm total awareness, because I was born in September. So I'm doing me. And so when Dr. Spann and I asked Brother Jerome, I asked him, like, Brother Jerome, how do you and why do you? His brain doesn't work. I've never sat across and talked to another black man my age, looked him in the eye, and had that conversation that I had last night with Brother Jerome. And I asked him why and what. And you know what Brother Rome said? In the details of his relationship with his wife and the way that he relates, it wasn't just a relationship with his wife. That's his relationship with himself. And that's his relationship with everybody else. And what is it? It's authentic. It is moral. It is ethical. So Brother Jerome doesn't need morals and values and ethics from a church. He got morals and values and ethics built into his design by his source. So if Brother Jerome leaves his mind at home in exchange for the morals and values of any church, although they may be great, they're not greater than his design. So by him keeping his individual design, that's how he shines. And so now he can share that design with other people. When I was talking with Sister Candace and I was explaining to her, and we're going through her numbers and we're talking about what makes her great. And she mentioned something that was like normally very, I'm going to use the word, offensive for a woman. And that is to actually tell you that I am not going to do what you tell me to do. I think about Sister Natalie, who has that same disposition. Sister Deborah has it. She's stepping into it. What is that disposition? There are women who are designed by God to be leaders. They think like men. What is presumed, what is told to us by the hive mind. So the culture tells us only men can be leaders. Really? Obviously, they ain't looked in the history and saw all of the women leaders and all the great women and all the great goddesses from history. So women can be leaders too. That doesn't make you bad. That doesn't make you a man. That doesn't make you, you know, to want to be a part of the LGBT movement just because of the fact that you are a woman that's designed by God to basically lead. So it's so important for us not to buy into the demonization of certain attributes and characteristics that has been given to us by source. So Sister Candace said that, yeah, if somebody says something to me that doesn't sound like sense, it doesn't make sense to me personally, I tell them now that's whack. And so during the one-on-one, she said, Dak, I don't agree with you. And I said, well, what do you mean you don't agree with me? I'm the master teacher. You better check yourself. And then she's like, no, that's not how relationships work. Or that's not the way that they should work. You shouldn't have to check yourself. You shouldn't have to dumb yourself down. I said, remember, I'm a six. That's what I've been doing all my life. Well, Sister Candace, she's a seven. And she got a bunch of ones in her chart. So she's been using reason and logic to establish direction, not emotion. So I use love and compassion to determine my direction. That's called emotion. That's dangerous. That's more dangerous for leaders. Why? That emotion has the potential to attract an entity that can disguise itself as your energy. Your INNERG. You can be, that's why I don't do spirit work. I know people who say they're spiritual workers, and I pray for them immensely because usually they have their life. Well, let me digress. Usually, if you're a spirit worker, you're going to have some issues because you mean to tell me you are working in an area that you know nothing about. Now, I ask spirit workers all the time. I'm a spirit worker. But how do I work in the spirit? I work in the spirit by not working in the spirit. What does that mean? I work in the spirit by following my gut. My gut tells me don't walk in the spirit. That's how I walk in the spirit. So I walk, when I say walk in the spirit, I walk in reason and logic. So I don't use love and compassion in the spirit realm. You're going to get smoked. Why? All spirits are benevolent in the beginning. Now, I used to do a lot of spirit work, especially in the church, where everything was mystical and demons and devils. So you pray for somebody and you got a spirit of lust and you cast out that spirit of lust. And I realized that all those spirits of lust were thought patterns. Nobody deal with the thought pattern. And remember, a thought pattern gives birth to an emotion that controls a behavior. Let me say that again real slow. This is the most dangerous thing because you end up with some Jim Jones type stuff. Because Jim Jones had a thought pattern. That thought pattern gave birth to an emotion. That emotion in the beginning was benevolent. Jim Jones was not a bad dude. There are people who, when you think about it, But something turned because those dispositions have the ability to mimic. I know a lot of people, and again, I know a lot of chameleons. That's why I always follow the energy. I never follow the activity. I know a lot of philanthropists that on paper, they are God's gift to the planet, but their energy is off. So I don't follow them. I don't hang out with them. But they say, well, Brother Will, you understand, this dude donates money. He does this. He does that. He's a pillar in our community. Yeah. And then 50 years later, there's 20 little boys come up that said they found out they're grown men now, and they say that philanthropist, that priest, that guru used to find those little boys. This happens all the time because people do spirit work based upon what people do, not based upon the energy. Now, let me make sure you understand, because the energy is the energy. It's the inner chi. So the enemy wants to replace your God-given inner chi with the hive mind of the cosmoglottor, his inner chi. And that's what's happening. What's happening is there is a lot of people, there are very, very well-meaning people, myself included, that if you don't remain teachable, when Sister Candace told me that, she said, this is the key to all my partnerships and my relationships. Now, she's from the house of partnerships and relationships. That's why I sit my dark behind down and I listen. So I listen to people who are experts in their space, because I know that they listen to me because I'm an expert in my space. So Brother Jerome is a one. I'm not a one. I'm a six. So when he was talking about how he's able to lead, why he goes on vacation on the Wednesdays versus going on vacation on a Friday or Saturday when everybody else is out, because it's making a statement. He's consciously. Now, I've never thought of that. I just go on vacation. I just book the vacation and go. I don't look at the days. I never consciously gave it out because I'm not a one. So that's why it's so important to respect people. So what Sister Candace was saying, which is what I now understand, is everybody should see their own worth and their value, not the hive. So you join an organization, you don't assimilate into the organization from the perspective of the organization being better than you. You don't die when you join a church or a company. That's what I used to do. I used to give my mind. When I was a Marine, I was a Marine. Whatever they said to do, I did. I didn't think about it. They say, charge the hill. I say, yes, sir. That's how you make a good cult. And so it's very important that when you join the military, when you join an organization, you don't leave your brain behind. You don't leave reason and logic behind just because you join an organization. Now, what does that mean, though, in English? Because it's not like that blatant. How is it played out in real life? Well, this is how it's played out in real life. So you get in a relationship with somebody, and you like country and Western music. They like hip-hop. But you know and you love them so much that you will stop listening to your country and Western. And you will start listening to hip-hop. It is not mutually beneficial. Your husband gets all of the benefits. I know this because that's what happened in my first marriage. Even though I would tell my first wife, hey, you don't have to listen to whatever you want to. Well, no, I know you don't like country. Yeah, but you like country. Yeah, but, you don't like it. Okay. And that was a mistake on my behalf for not requiring her to stand up and be and do what she believes and what she enjoys. Because I'm enjoying myself. So she should be able to enjoy herself. But because I was enjoying myself, I didn't really care if anybody else was enjoying themselves. But in a partnership, both partners are enjoying themselves. It's an agreement that is mutually beneficial to both parties. The energy exchange doesn't just benefit one person. The energy that is being exchanged benefits both parties. Brothers and sisters, the ability for you to go into a relationship, into a partnership, into a business, into an organization with the over understanding that this is going to be mutually beneficial for both parties. That's what Brother Jerome and Dr. Spann have. They have a marriage that it just doesn't benefit Dr. Spann. It just doesn't benefit Brother Jerome. What I saw last night, I saw two people that was mutually considerate of each other. Brother Jerome goes out, and he was telling us a story about how he went out. He knows his wife liked bananas, so he brought her bananas. And then Dr. Spann was saying that she went to the store on her way home, and she know her husband liked bananas, so she brought bananas. Both parties were mutually considerate of the other party while being themselves. They didn't sacrifice their own identity, and they haven't. Brother Jerome has not stopped being Brother Jerome. And Dr. Spann has not stopped being Dr. Spann. They are still able to be themselves while being a part of something called a relationship or a marriage. And that's what Sister Candace was saying. And that's the type of organization that I want to build and that I am building. The life management system is I don't want people to think like me. I want you to think like you. And I want you to respect the way I'm going to respect the way you think. And I want you to respect the way I think. So we were sitting there talking to Brother Jerome, and at the end of the conversation, man, I was really surprised because I didn't think I was going to get a word in. No, I came to learn, too. So I want you to talk. So that's why I didn't talk. I sit there and I listen because I know that there's an area of expertise, there's areas in leadership and in relationship that you are better in, and I need to learn from you. If I want to be better in relationships, I got to learn from somebody who got a good relationship. I can't learn from somebody who don't. If I want to learn how to be a leader, I got to learn from somebody who's a leader. Sister Candace is a 7. I'm not a 7. So if I want to learn from a, if I want to learn how to use reason and logic, I got to get with somebody and learn from somebody who has reason and logic. And so your ability to see worth and value in other people doesn't diminish your own. Your acknowledgement of the worth and value. Seeing and sitting down and listening and talking with, you know, Dr. Jerome and Dr. Spann last night, that this, by sitting there and not talking, not being in charge, not dictating, not, you know, setting the boundaries, not being the leader, not being Master Teacher 33, not getting my panties all in the wild because I didn't get a chance to talk as much as I normally talk, actually allowing Dr. Spann to and brother, especially Brother Jerome, to actually, you know, take the lead and actually talk. Why? They have value. They got a relationship that is working. They're not like trying to build one. They've been married for almost 40 years. So it would be arrogant and cocky and egocentric of me to say because I am the coach, and you're the client. You're supposed to sit down and listen to me. When Sister Candace was talking about relationships and partnerships, and she started sharing stuff that I had not heard that was totally different from my definitions and what I understand about partnerships, I sat up and I started listening. She became the coach. At that moment, she became the coach. And at that moment, I became the client. And brothers and sisters, we got to have the ability to do that. You got to have the ability to be able to become the client and then become the coach and then go back to being the client and then become the coach and then go back to being the client. You got to be able to not be in team because all of that's just ego. All of that's just arrogant. Just because you got a title in the position, oh, well, you got to listen. No. If I'm a CEO, and I am, so if I walk into an office and my janitor says something that makes sense, you think I'm not going to listen to him just because he's the janitor? Well, I know people that do that. I know people that are leaders that don't even speak to their janitors on their way in and on their way out. Why? They janitors. The Bible says, consider the ant. The Bible also says that if you don't praise me, the rocks will cry out and praise me. That means rocks got value. Rocks got something to say. I can learn from a rock. I can learn from an ant. I can learn from anybody. And everybody on this call, myself included, I may call myself Master Teacher 33. This may be my platform. I may have a lot of knowledge and a lot of information. And I may be Mr. Total Awareness. But the way I get that total awareness is sitting my ass down and listen. And learning from people who may know something a little bit more or a little bit different. Just a change in perspective. That change in perspective changes the globe and changes the world. So brothers and sisters, again, there's six other points, but that's for the private show. But the major point in getting out of hive mind into your individual mind, while you're a part of a hive. So when you become a part of a tribe, you should not lose your individuality or your individual mind. True partnerships are made when a group of individuals come together and share mutually beneficial information and knowledge. And no individual stops being themselves because they see no value in themselves. Sometimes you get into a major organization or a major company, and the leader or the other people, the star, gets so high up. It's like Hollywood. You ever notice how they treat Hollywood stars? I've always had a problem with that. I've never been able to be a groupie. I remember seeing Tim Duncan. Like, I remember going to Spurs game and seeing these guys, and I remember we went to the movies and Tim Duncan walked in. He was in shorts. He had on, he had no shoes on, had on some slides. And I remember his shoulders was hunched over. And he had his head down because he was trying to be incognito. He made it. I mean, it was very obvious. He was trying not to be seen. He did not want anybody to notice that was him. And I was saying, like, I don't really do starstruck very well. So sometimes, like, if you're a star and you like worship and you like people that kiss your butt and kiss your ring finger, I'm probably not the guy you want to hang out with. To me, boo-boo, you're just another boo-boo. Because I already know, if I slap you in the mouth, you're going to bleed. And if you slap me in the mouth, I'm going to bleed. Like, there ain't no super men. We all super men and super women. All I'm simply saying is, I ain't run up to Tim Duncan and ask for can I get your autograph? Can you sign this? Man, you should be asking me for my autograph. So what am I saying? I'm simply saying that sometimes this whole star worship thing, I'm not against stuff, but people this whole story I read once, I think it was Prince or somebody. It may have been, somebody that walked to a hotel room and they said that his entourage would go ahead of him and tell people not to look at him. Or not to look at him, but look him in the eye. Now, whether that's a true story or not, I don't know. I've heard some crazy stuff. Beyonce, about Beyonce. Oh, man, I heard one thing about Mariah Carey. And this was supposed to be true because Nick Cannon said it. I mean, he was married to her. That, but like, he never really saw her without his makeup. Like, the girl was like, I don't know, she had on permanent makeup? She woke up with makeup on? Or she had the lighting had to be a certain way and all this stuff. I was like, really? Like, boo-boo, no, sit down. That's too much. Sometimes we get this whole starstruck thing, and it's why we put people on that pedestal. What happens if you just saw a star and they were just a regular dude? If nobody worshiped nobody, could you imagine an environment where everybody was the same? Like, if I had a church, and I used to say this all the time, all the ministers would sit in the floor at the back. Where all the homeless, I remember the church that I was at, the first two rows, like the ushers was told, and this is one of the reasons why I left, not to let the disenfranchised, we put it that way, sit on those rows. Only the, nice suits, the money bags, as we call them, only the money bags could sit on the first two rows. The homeless guy, the person who really needed the message, they had to sit in the back. Really? So, brothers and sisters, all I'm simply saying is, how do we avoid all of that? It's for you to analyze yourself see worth and value in yourself, and then see and acknowledge the worth and value in everybody else. What if we did that? What if everybody on this call actually promoted the worth and value in somebody else? So that's what I saw last night with Dr. Span and her husband. I saw two people that was very considerate of each other. They hadn't lost that. They wasn't like, oh, that's just my wife, sit down and shut up. It's like, oh, you know, you talk too much. Or I don't want to hear what you got to say. Or what you got to say ain't got no value. They still had that. They still had that. When she spoke, I noticed he gave her his undivided attention. And vice versa. They still had that newness. They still had that honeymoon stage after 38 years of marriage. They still have that honeymoon stage vibe. It wasn't what they did. It was the energy that they exuded. And everybody on this call, that's the way your mind is designed. But you've piped it down. You've dumbed yourself down because you're in a group. It's we when we get in a group of intellectual gurus, oh, man. Like, to me, I fit right in. You can take me right now to the White House. I will sit down. I will shake Donald Trump's hand. I am not for or against. I like some of the stuff he does. I don't like some of the stuff he does. That's what everybody. But you think I'm intimidated by Donald Trump? And I can go right now down to the homeless shelter and sit down and talk to a homeless man. Because I know that homeless man got worth and value, just like Donald Trump. So everybody should be able to go from the outhouse to the penthouse. Everybody on this call, you should be comfortable in the prison and in the palace. That is the open understanding of worth and value. What I saw last night, sitting down with Dr. Span and her husband, especially with her husband, I saw a black man that was very comfortable in his skin. The dude was not trying to impress me. And I sure wasn't trying to impress him. We were two men having a conversation. I want everybody on this call, the next time you meet a guru, I want you to look that guru in the eye, shake his hand, and talk to him like he's a freaking regular Joe. Because guess what? If you slap him in the mouth, he bleeds. Guaranteed. You put a bullet in his head, he's going to drop. We got to stop worshiping each other. We got to stop, you know, treating each other like, you know, oh, that person, because of their title and their position, is better than me. No, boo-boo, I don't care if you're the janitor or the CEO. You got worth and you got value because you're designed by source. God gave you a mind. Stop neglecting your design so that way somebody else can shine. Step up to the plate and be who God has designed and gifted you to be. Now, again, I'm not trying to outshine nobody. I'm not trying to make nobody else feel bad. I am, however, being the best version of myself that I can be. Every day I wake up, I want to be Mr. Total Awareness. I want to be Mr. 6339. That's my goal. I'm not trying to make you feel less than what you are. All I'm trying to do is be the best version of myself, and I am the best version of myself. And I want to make sure, and I want to hang out with people who are willing, who have a desire. You may not be there yet, but at least have a latheia, because that's the whole Bible. The whole Bible is based upon a latheia. It's based upon consideration. At least, that's all I'm asking. Are you willing to consider? I didn't say you got to change anything, but are you willing to consider? If we can build an organization of people, as Sister Candace broke down in the last one-on-one that we had, that was a total different worldview. And as Dr. Span and her husband broke down last night, and as different people, Sister Natalie, Sister Deborah, Sister Zeta, I learned just as much from each one of you guys as you learned from me. Sister Carlette, all of these people, everybody that's a part of the life management system, we are all kings and queens. There are no peasants. We are all priests. And as a group of priests, we're all individual lights who come together to create a community of lights. We are all spiritual light beings. We're all coming together to shine. Nobody is outshining anybody. We're all shining together for the glory of Source, the Father, the Big G. So my brothers and my sisters, you are designed to shine. The only way that you are going to shine is if you understand the esoteric design of your mind. You have a brilliant mind. When I say mind, I'm talking about the soul, really. I'm talking about the mind, will, emotion, imagination, and intellect. There are those five pieces. It is time for you to access your mind. And the way that you access your mind is the same way that you access your design. Analyze, get to know, fall in love with each one of the divine attributes and characteristics that was given to you by God. Once you do that, my brothers, once you do that, my sisters, you are guaranteed to shine. So my brothers and sisters, I do apologize for the background noise. Again, I'm driving, heading back to the Hizzle for Shizzle. So me and the wife had a great time, got a chance to hang out with Dr. Spann and Dr. Jerome. So Dr. Spann, Dr. Jerome, I actually wanted to have them on the call today, but we'll have them on Monday or Tuesday later on tonight. Make sure you guys tune in. We're going to interview one of the most, our brother, man, you got to hear this, brother. He was on the other side of the bars. This dude really went from the outhouse, from the prison to the palace. You don't want to hear, brother, you don't want to miss Brother Andreas and how I assisted him with breaking down his name, his niche, and his narrative. This brother's product, service, and information is going to change a lot of lives. So you're going to tune in tonight. That will be popping off tonight at 7 p.m. So, brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God bless. And as always, my brothers and always my sisters, the Big G has a name that, as the word says in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, his name is the entire word of God. He expresses it through the S-U-N, the S-O-N, and the S-U-M. And he has left the Ruach, the Pneuma, the Holy Spirit inside of you to lead you and guide you into all truth. So as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
I'm gon' do this even after death. I'm gon' do this even after death. You can't match my death. I'm gon' do this even after death. I'm gon' do this even after death. You can't match my death. All you haters get up out my way, cause I'm about to wake. All you haters up, hop on in, let's just ride the wave. You should really listen to this song, cause it's about you slaves. If you want your freedom, stop acting naive. Man, I'm talking naive, ain't like a dry heat. Cause everything you need is hell right in. Man, I'm never right thing when I hit this machine. Swear I got it from my dad, how I got the gift of gab. Articulate, matriculate through 50 states. I'm just here to twist your fate, set it straight. I'm so great, gotta set a date, call me meditate. I'm so metaphysical, I'm the God, call me metafate. They told me not to do it, so I had to do it. I'm tired of all these people trying to be so fancy. You say a lot of stuff, but you don't mean nothing. So tell me how the hell you're supposed to make advances. Advances, make advances, make advances. Advances, make advances, make advances. Advances, make advances, make advances. Advances, till a brother got it. They don't say nothing till a brother got it. I'ma pull up with the Corvette, cause I'm so fat. Yeah, you know I gotta give my check. Yeah, I'm so chest with it popped out like, that's me. All day, can't you see? That's me. All day, Super Saiyan like I'm Goku when I'm flying through the atmosphere. I'm about to clear everybody out of here, can't you see? I'm just killing all these rats with these raps clear. Can't you see? Can't you see how I'm right here? Told me not to do it, so I had to do it. I'm tired of all these people trying to be so fancy. You say a lot of stuff, but you don't mean nothing. So tell me how the hell you're supposed to make advances. Make advances, make advances, make advances. Make advances, make advances, make advances. Make advances, make advances, make advances. Make advances. They told me not to do it, so I had to do it. Tired of all these people trying to be so fancy. You say a lot of stuff, but you don't.